Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. Oh, these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sword. Still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At trumpet call and lift your voice, the tear of jubilee, out of Zion till salvation comes. And these are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields are wide in the world. And we are your laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Have trumpet call and lift your voice. It's year of jubilee, out of Zion till salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Have trumpet call and lift your voice. It's year of jubilee, out of Zion till salvation come. Out of Zion till salvation come. Out of Zion till salvation come. Draw me close to you. Let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm friend. That you are my desire. No one else will do. There's nothing else could take your place. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you. Yeah. else could take your place. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way and bring me back to you.
trust in him all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Amen. Grandeur earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken for my regard. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well. It is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and winds still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and winds still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves will still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves will still know his name. The waves and winds still know. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. It is well. So let go, my soul.
Lord, let it be so this morning. Lord, we've hit some rough waters this week. We've hit some road bumps. We've had some discouraging moments. Yeah, Lord, in it all, help us to understand what really matters. Help us to learn to refocus and to rethink and to, Lord, just place all of those issues and difficulties and problems. Lord, help us to lay them at your feet. Help us to trust you. God, I pray that you would bring us peace beyond understanding. Lord, that it would indeed be well with our soul. Lord, that despite those rocky roads and those rough circumstances, Lord, we would know that you are still in control, that you have our best in mind, that you will see us through. Lord, help us to know that you walk with us every step of every day. You never abandon us. You never forsake us. You never leave us. Lord, you are there with us. Lord, fill us with peace that surpasses all understanding. Joy, Lord, that is not subject to this world. Joy that is not subject to happiness, but joy that is found in you and you alone, Lord. God, change our hearts and lives today. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord, this morning I think of Julie, Lord, and I just lift her up before you and pray that you would minister to her. Lord, touch her body and encourage her and speak to her and bring healing and wholeness to her flesh, Father God. Lord, I think of Ann Kelly, Tom Kelly's family. Lord, would you minister to Ann and the rest of that family, Lord, as they grieve over Tom's passing? Lord, would you encourage them and bring peace to their hearts, Father God? Lord, I think of Heidi, who's with us this morning. We're so glad to see her here. I just pray that you continue to minister to her, Lord. Continue to speak to her and touch her body, Lord. All those other needs, Lord, that are there, that are represented, that are silent in some cases, Lord, would you speak to people's hearts and minds and lives today? Lord, would they just sense the power and presence of your Holy Spirit working and moving and there, right by their side, perhaps even wrapping his arms around each of them at this moment? Lord, I thank you for your blessings, your mercy and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we attempted to understand a little bit more what it might have been like to be one of those first 12 disciples. What was it like during that time? What was it like to live in that time frame, in that atmosphere, and what might they have thought or what might have been going through their minds? Those first 12 followers gave up so much, but they gained so much more. For them, for us too, but for them it took sacrifice, it took courage, it took faith, it took incredible hope and trust to do what they did, because they walked away from so much, all to follow some guy who claimed to be the Messiah.
with each new change, they had to adapt a little bit more. They had to listen a little bit closer to what God was doing, follow Christ's instruction. And yet, during all of that, one of the things I pointed out a little bit last week, and I want to stress it a little bit more this week, because this sometimes becomes an excuse for us. But all the time that they followed Christ, all the time that they gave up to preaching and everything, they still supported their families. They still encouraged and provided for their families. Scripture tells us they had families. Talks about Peter's mother-in-law. That tells me he had a wife. Talks about James and John out fishing with their dad. You know, so many of these disciples, though we don't think about it, though we don't have it all laid out for us in Scripture, they had families that they helped support. They lived together, they worked together, they supported and encouraged one another. And even during that time frame when they were following Jesus, they did not abandon their families. They did not give up on them. They helped them, they encouraged them, they provided for them. They learned how to walk with Christ and be the family member that they needed to be. So many of us struggle with that today. We find a divide and we commit to this or we commit to that, but we can't figure out how to do both. And it's possible to do both. We need to understand that. Though their life with Christ was not easy, and they had that privilege, they had that opportunity to literally walk with Jesus, doesn't mean things were easy for them. Doesn't mean things came simply for them. They made incredible sacrifices. Now, they also gained some pretty incredible rewards. First of all, they truly have that heavenly reward at this point. They have all heard the Father say, "Well done, good job, thank you for following my Son and listening and obeying." They've heard that, they've received that. But they also receive some pretty amazing rewards while here on earth. Do we ever stop to think about that a little bit? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, expanded company profiles or stock options. That's not what this is about, right? They didn't get to move into those upper-end Judean neighborhoods. That wasn't the point of it all. They didn't ride the rarest of donkeys, right? But they received some pretty powerful blessings, some pretty powerful rewards, something that is only given, quite honestly, to a select group of people. What is it that they received? Power. Power from on high. They received the promised power of the Holy Spirit. They received the indwelling. They received God with them 24/7. And His amazing work through them. Through sacrifice and selflessness, these men came together. They might have been confused at times. They might have been troubled at times. Things might have been spinning through their head. What now? What now? You know, all those things may have actually happened like we talked about a little bit last week. But the bottom line is they obeyed Jesus. When He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait, they went and they waited. And what happened? The Holy Spirit fell on them. And it changed their life forever. Now you think following Jesus changed their life, and it did. 3 years of walking with Him changed their life, and it did. When the Holy Spirit fell on them, that was an incredible change. 1,000 things had been rushing through their minds, but the bottom line is they obeyed and did what Jesus told them to do. And it's because of that, that we read about Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Have they said, no way? Have they said, okay, he's dead, we're done, I'm going back to what I knew? Had they given up? Had they not trusted? Had they not obeyed? Would we have Acts chapter 2? God can do anything, so, you know, something else could have happened, but not as we know it. Had they said, no way, we wouldn't read what we read in Acts chapter 2. These men had to remain faithful. They had to remain obedient. They had to be planted firm in their faith. And in doing so, God poured Himself out on them. He empowered them. He gave them strength. He gave them wisdom and understanding, and all of it far beyond their own ability. Far beyond anything they could have possibly done themselves. In fact, Scripture is interesting in this, because just a couple of chapters later, it talks about who these individuals were. And in Acts 4:13, it says they were unschooled, ordinary men. You know, I believe one of the reasons that is in Scripture is so that we understand what took place here was not in and of themselves. What took place here was not because of their higher education or even the fact that they walked with Jesus. What took place here was supernatural, miraculous, incredible. And God did it through ordinary, unschooled men. It's kind of mind-blowing when you stop and think about it. When Jesus appeared to them after His resurrection, He met with them a couple of different times over a period of 40 days, and He told them to go and wait for this special blessing. They obeyed. They went to Jerusalem, they went to the room where they were staying, and they all gathered together. The disciples, their wives, Jesus' mom, Jesus' brothers, they were all there, and they were praying. Scripture says constantly. They were praying while they were gathered there and waiting. They were praying. And then listen to what Jesus did. Acts 2, chapter 1, or chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The power of God Almighty fell on each of those individuals. Now, we talk about it, we think about it, we preach or share about it in Sunday. These men had never, ever seen something like this before. This was a brand new, first time ever experience. God fell on them in an incredible way, a miraculous way. The Creator of all things opened up that door from His heavenly throne and poured out His Spirit on His followers, on His disciples. Do we ever stop to think about that? I got to say, folks, we get lazy with Scripture. We read something and we think, oh, okay, fine. That's what we don't ever stop to really think about what that means. We don't stop to think about how incredible of an event this was at the time that it happened. God unleashed His power and poured it out on those that were following Him. On those that left their normal life to walk with Jesus. Those who kept the faith, who trusted, who let their faith and their hope guide them, who obeyed and gathered in that room. Jesus said, God the Father said, here's your reward. And he poured himself out on them. Imagine if that happened right now. Imagine if that happened here, while we're sitting here this morning, right now. Imagine if that took... Would that not grab your attention? Would that not get you a little excited? Imagine if that happened now. I guarantee you, if something like that happened today, every network that ever existed would be here to figure out what was going on. They'd be here to talk about it. They'd be here to see what it's all about. They might get it wrong, but they would be here. They would be covering that event. None of us probably even realized anything about this little college in Asbury, Kentucky, until suddenly it was in the news. What's going on? What's God doing there? Who are these people? Never heard of that town, but God did something there. Imagine what it would be like if that happened here today. Well, just as big as it would be here today, it was big then. It had never before happened. So it was a big deal. And look what God did with this big deal. This is God. This is how He works. Chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard him speaking in his own language. Not only had God done something in these individuals that had never, ever, ever, ever been done before, He had assembled a crowd and got them all ready to receive it and to hear about it. It didn't happen in a closed room, in a dark area, in a basement somewhere where nobody ever heard about it. And they just had to take my word that it actually happened. God had assembled a mass of people that are going to be His witnesses to this. This event took place. In His infinite wisdom, He had already gathered His social network media group. He had all of His connections already put into place. Everybody was there so that they could go out and spread the news, the word about what had happened. God does incredible things like that. Now, they were gathered there for a different reason. They weren't gathered there because they knew the Holy Spirit was going to fall on these men and the speaking in tongues was going to happen. They were there for a different reason. But God used that. See, unknown to them, they were going to be made witnesses for the power of the falling of the Holy Spirit on these average, ordinary, unschooled men. And God had orchestrated all of that without getting anybody's permission or making sure it worked in anybody else's schedule. He brought it all to pass. Now here's the kicker, or at least one of them. Do you know the disciples didn't even know this was going to happen? They were told to go wait, and they went and they waited. They were told that the Holy Spirit would be given to them. That was the promise. Jesus said, I promise the Holy Spirit will give them. But they didn't have a clue that this was going to happen. They had no idea that tongues of fire were going to fall and that they were going to start speaking in some other language and that they were going to be a witness to this massive crowd that God had gathered. When this took place, can you imagine the power, the fulfillment, the energy that coursed through their veins? Can you imagine what this was like for them? And I'm not talking about in a proud or arrogant way. But imagine what it was like for that Holy Spirit to fall on them and for them to start speaking and being that witness, that example that God the Father wanted them to be. Those of you that have been moved or used by the Holy Spirit know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a feeling beyond anything you can describe or understand when God chooses to work and move in and through you. It's a feeling of incredible, amazing fulfillment that the God of all creation would take a moment to use you, to use me, to complete His part. I mean, what a rush. What a rush. There's testimonies out there. If you listen, there's testimonies out there of former drug users that talk about all the drugs they used and the highs they got and all the things that took place. And those that have gotten saved and been just immersed in the Holy Spirit will tell you they have never, ever felt any high like that of being used with the Holy Spirit. No drug could ever compare to that. No alcohol could ever give them that same feeling. The power and the presence of the Holy Spirit coursing through their veins is absolutely indescribable. It's incredible to be used by God that way. Now, we're talking about these individuals that walked with Jesus, right? While they walked away from their normal life and they obediently followed Jesus, they saw Jesus do miracle after miracle. They saw Him heal the blind and all those different things that He did. They listened with their own ears to the Son of God's teaching. They got to hear that personally. Jesus gave them power to pray and deliver and heal people. He sent them out, said, go do this, go do this. He gave them that authority and that ability. And yet I would guess none of that felt the same way as what it felt like when the Holy Spirit fell upon them at Pentecost. They were used in mighty ways to do mighty things for those 3 years that they walked with Christ, but none of it compared to the Holy Spirit falling on them that day at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit indwells the believer. It enables the believer to function in a way you've never functioned before. If you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He is there. And He is going to give you power and strength and authority and purpose like you've never understood if you allow Him to. Now tell me, you hear about all this stuff with the disciples, you hear what happened, you read through the script. Tell me you wouldn't be excited if that happened to you. Tell me you don't want God to use you like He used these men. Tell me that doesn't get you excited to some degree. I'm going to say, sadly, we have a problem today. And one of our biggest problems as believers in Jesus Christ, one of our biggest problems is we want to know the end before we're willing to start at the beginning. I want to know that this is going to end in this good, exciting, excellent way before I take the first step on this journey. Disciples didn't know that. They walked away from their boats, their nets, and they trusted. And they had faith. And God used them in incredible ways. You read through this text in Acts chapter 2, it doesn't stop with the fact that the Spirit fell on these individuals. It doesn't stop with the fact that God had drawn this group of Jewish individuals from all over the world. God took these men. God manifested Himself in them. He spoke clearly to them. There was so much more to unpack here. Acts 2, 7 through 8. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? couple verses later, 11. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. Kathy, would you stand up and share with us for a moment this morning?
Il y avait les gens dans la maison. Les gens qui étaient les amis de Jésus, les disciples. Tout à coup, il y a un vent très fort qui descend. Et puis le bruit du ciel. Le Saint-Esprit était là. Et ils devaient parler dans les autres langues, des uns et des autres. C'était un miracle. Le Saint-Esprit était avec les gens et les feux, les langues de feu, étaient sur chaque personne. C'était le jour de Pentecôte.
How many of you got that? I see some out there going, maybe a tiny bit. I might have picked up a word or two. I have no idea what she just said. I really don't. I have no clue what she just shared. Kathy spent years learning how to speak French. Kathy has practiced over and over and over again, carrying on conversations, talking to people, being able to understand that language and speak that language quite clearly. But I still didn't understand it. Kathy didn't wake up one morning and suddenly have French rolling off her tongue. It didn't happen that way. It's not the way it works. These men, according to Acts chapter 2, spoke in a language they had never ever before understood or known. They spoke it clearly. They spoke the miracles of God. They communicated a message to the mass of people that was there listening, and they did it all without knowing exactly what it was they were saying, because they had received power from on high. They had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and were able to speak clearly to these other people in a language they did not understand. Grab a hold of this, folks. They didn't have a membership to Rosetta Stone. They didn't have the Duolingo app on their phone. The power of the Holy Spirit of God fell on them. And He used them to speak miraculously to others. Are we getting the picture here? Are we understanding what took place that day? Do we know God still works that way? In addition to all of that, Peter, the very man that denied Christ three times prior to the crucifixion, stood up and addressed the whole crowd that was there and told them what was happening. He told them what was taking place. Now, don't miss out on this point either. Peter was not prepared to make this speech. Jesus never pulled him aside and said, "Hey man, you got to get ready. You better take some serious notes and start studying, because there's a day coming when you're going to have to stand up and testify and tell everybody what's going on here." That's not what took place. He was not prepared. He was used in an instant by the Holy Spirit. While they were there praying and speaking in those other tongues, those other languages they didn't know, the Holy Spirit came to Peter and said, "Stand up, because you're going to talk. I got a message that I want to tell the people, and I'm doing it through you." How many of us would volunteer for that? Most of us are afraid to talk to one or two other people. You want to stand in front of a crowd of thousands and talk to somebody? Peter was an ordinary, unschooled man. And if you've ever studied or looked at the life of Peter, you know that Peter often spoke his mind. And many times he spoke his mind out of line. Jesus even rebuked Peter for some things that Peter said. So the fact that Peter was standing up to speak to this crowd also was an incredible miracle. The difference is he was now filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So he was able to stand up, unprepared, unrehearsed, and ready to share the words that God wanted to share through him. To deliver that powerful speech, quite honestly, to a bunch of God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, according to what Scripture said. He did it clearly. He articulated it well. He shared every word he needed to share without fear or trepidation or worry. He just allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through him. What did he share? What message came from his lips? What did he communicate? He communicated the gospel. He shared with them the message of Christ, the Messiah. He talked to them about who Jesus was and what took place just over the last few years. And more importantly, the last month or so ago after when Jesus was crucified. He shared the gospel message. And how did the people respond? When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. And Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" They immediately wanted to know, "What do we do? What do we do with this incredible message you have just shared?" Peter, of course, told them, "Repent, be baptized." And you know that Scripture says, in that day, with all these things that happened, in that day, more than 3,000 were added to their number. 3,000. Doesn't say 3,000 were there, it says 3,000 were added to their number. So Peter very well could have been speaking to 6, 8, 10,000 people. That many people could have heard the spoken language that was coming from these ordinary, unschooled men. Those that believed and put their hope in the Lord, those 3,000 plus that were added, according to Acts 2:42, said they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves to that. They didn't occasionally check back in. They didn't every now and again wonder how things were. They devoted themselves to that teaching, to listening, to receiving. 12 average men left what they knew as normal behind and started living differently for 3 years. They watched what I think we could probably categorize as their best friend be tried and beaten and mocked and killed on a cross. They could have easily justified, humanly anyhow, they could have easily justified their plan to going back to what they used to do. Going back to what they knew. Going back to what they found as comfortable. Back to their old lives, their old ways of doing things. And quite honestly, had they done that, odds are nobody would have noticed. odds are nobody would have had a clue. They might have had a story they could tell every now and then. Yeah, for 3 years I went and followed this guy, but it didn't amount to anything, so I'm back. They might have had some story they could share or tell. But had they done that, most likely nothing would have come of their lives. Maybe, maybe not. They might have received some kind of reward for following. Who knows? But because they obeyed, because they trusted, because they followed, because they did what Christ said to do, we see perhaps one of the most powerful displays of the Holy Spirit throughout all of Scripture. All because this guy said, yeah. All because they said, okay. All because they said, I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but I'm willing. You know, when I was reading through this and thinking about this, I can't help but trying to understand their thoughts at the time. I can't help but understand what this was like for them. That's how I'm wired. I try to figure that stuff out. Understand what it is. Understand how it worked. Understand what an incredible, amazing time this was. An occurrence this was. And then I have to ask myself, as believers, why don't we seek that now? Where is our hunger for that experience? Where is our desire? I mean, tell me you have no desire to be used like that. Tell me. Tell me you have no desire to be used by God like that. Because honestly, if you don't, we're done here. Just that simple. If you have no desire for God to use you like He used those men that day at Pentecost, then why are we here? If the infilling of the Holy Spirit and the empowerment that He brings to accomplish God's will means nothing to us, then we should just go home. We should just go home. We shouldn't do anything different. We shouldn't change anything in our lives. We should just keep doing what we've always done. Keep fishing with our dad. Keep throwing out our nets. Keep doing what we've always done if we have no desire to change or be like these men were. If you want even a sip of what these disciples received, then it's up to you to make some changes. I can't change things for you. You can't change things for me. We are responsible for ourselves when it comes to our relationship with our Father. But if you have any desire, any hope, any tiny little spark inside you that wants to be used the way those disciples were used, then you need to make some changes. What you find important, what you prioritize, what you think about, how you act, giving up some excuse making or justifying like we are so good at doing, and simply learning to surrender. Simply learning to obey. The disciples didn't receive their anointing while they were walking from their homes to their church. The Spirit didn't fall on them while they were out building or cleaning their garage, whatever they were doing. The Spirit fell on them when they went and they waited and they prayed. That's when the Spirit fell. Waited and prayed. In their case, they had to wait 10 days. But that 10 days followed 3 years of walking with Him. There was a period of time here that they just had to learn to trust and obey. I don't know if the timing really matters a whole lot to this whole situation. What matters here is the fact that they waited and obeyed. The fact that they were motivated to do what Christ told them to do. The fact that they had some sort of hunger that drove them back to that room in Jerusalem to wait and to pray together, to receive the blessing that they had promised. So if we want to see the Spirit of God fall, that tells me we got to do what they did. We got to be willing to make some sacrifices. We got to be willing to make some changes. We got to be willing to stop coming up with excuses. We got to be willing to stop justifying things. We got to be willing to wait on the Lord. We got to be willing to wait and to pray. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think we've lost that whole concept of waiting on the Lord. We've talked about it over time. We've said it a few times, but nobody comes rushing the altar anymore. We've lost the significance of what it means to spend time here before the Lord, to pour out your heart, to wait. We're too consumed with lunch plans, football games, whatever it is that we're going to do after service. I said last week, oh man, pastor went long this week. Oh, I'm not going to get out in time. We get so consumed with those things, we've forgotten what it's like to just wait on the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that God's only going to fall if we're waiting here at the altar or if we're here in this. God can fall at your house too. He can fall wherever. The idea is we have to wait on Him. We have to pray. And honestly, one of the things that we have to physically, verbally, actually pray is, Lord, let your Spirit fall. Let your Spirit fall on us. Let your Spirit fall on me. I mean, this is perfect timing. Look out the window for a minute. Look at that snow falling. It's covering the ground out there. It's creating this beautiful, white, unblemished covering to the ground out there. That's what it's like for the Holy Spirit to fall on us. It creates a clean, unblemished covering. God can and will use us in some incredible ways. God will help us to speak like Peter spoke. God will give us the words to say like those disciples spoke in a foreign language. God will use us if we let Him use us. If we reject Him, if we push Him away, if we keep making excuses or saying, not today, Lord, I'm too busy. And no, we'll never experience what they experienced at Pentecost. But if we surrender and make ourselves available, God, I guarantee, God will use you in ways you never, ever, ever thought possible. Ways you never expected. At times you don't see coming. He will use you in a mighty way. Lord, this morning I just pray that we would have surrendered hearts to you. Lord, there's no question of your ability, Lord. There's all kinds of questions of our willingness. There's all kinds of questions of our trust, our hope in you. God, I pray that you would change our minds and our thought process. I pray, Lord, that you would change the way we see things and think about things and the way we act. Lord, I pray that there would be a newfound hunger in our hearts and in our lives to be who you want us to be. Lord, whether that's individually or corporately, God, that we would have this passionate desire for your Holy Spirit to fall on us and use us like you used your first disciples. Use us to speak, use us to pray, use us to heal, use us to testify. God, use us in miraculous ways. Lord, let your will be done in our lives. Let your will be done in this church. Let your will be done in the church as a whole. God, help us to refocus our thoughts and to trust you to move and to work the way you want to in our lives. God, help us to pray. Help us to wait. Help us to trust you. Pastor Brian's going to play this morning. If you want to spend some time here, feel free to do so. There's nobody locking the door. There's nobody setting the alarm. There's nobody telling you, you got to go. There is somebody saying, come and wait. So if you want to come wait for a while, come wait for a while. It's up to you. Don't do it out of emotion. Don't do it because you want somebody else to see you up there. Do it because God's telling you to do it.
You've seen what you can do, God of wonders. Power has no end. Things you've done before, greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no prison walls you can't break through.